All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we're actually doing a special interview episode, and I'm going to be talking to Nikki Korda, founder of the Nevada Women's Film Festival, which is having its sixth annual event coming up later this month. And I thought it would be an interesting conversation to have her on and talk about the festival, which of course had to be postponed because of everything with the pandemic and is now moving from the theaters to an online experience. And I figured we'd have a lot to talk about as far as how that all goes and the struggles of planning a festival at a time like this, and then of course talking about the films themselves. So we have a lot of great stuff to talk about that is coming up in a second. But before we get to that, I of course, as always, want to remind you, hey, if you're enjoying what you're hearing on the show, please make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, TuneIn, all the major podcast apps. You can, of course, also rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. Follow us on social media at PiecingPod. And if you love movies and want to talk about movies, join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. So, we've been doing a lot of episodes lately, so I do want to encourage you, if maybe you're interested in the Nevada Women's Film Festival, and so you're listening to this interview, but you haven't listened to the main show before, check out. We've got so many back episodes. We've been putting out one or two a week every week, and so we've got a lot to check out. So go check out the previous episodes. We got 130-something of them. Lots of movies that we're talking about on the show, so check them out. I appreciate everybody that's been out there listening and supporting the show and everybody who's been writing in with their comments and stuff like that. It's just awesome. I'm so happy you're out there enjoying the show. So let's get into this conversation about the Nevada Women's Film Festival. All right, so joining me today, we have got Nikki Korda from the Nevada Women's Film Festival. Nikki, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I obviously, we were planning on doing this back before everything got so crazy and the festival had to be postponed, what with everything with the pandemic. And now it's an online film festival. I think we'll have plenty to talk about with that, as well as, you know, some of the picks and films that you guys are going to be playing and stuff like that. But, you know, first and foremost, maybe if you could tell our listeners a little bit about you yourself, what you do.
Sure. So I used to kind of quickly identify as a documentary filmmaker, but I haven't created a documentary in quite a while because of Nevada Women's Film Festival. So I would say I run Nevada Women's Film Festival first and foremost, and then I also teach. I teach at Nevada State College and College of CSN, College of Southern Nevada. I teach in the film visual media department at NSC and in the English department at both schools.
Okay, so you stay busy. You're in a lot of different film-related stuff.
Yes, yes. And documentary is my passion, and I do intend to go back to documentary filmmaking. I also have a business called Life Portraits, which is mostly about biographical documentary filmmaking, which is why I would be quick to call myself a documentary filmmaker. Mm-hmm. And I just want to get to the point where I can focus more on making films. I really miss that.
Yeah. I get it. I'm a music composer first, but lately I've been calling myself a podcaster because I do so many of these things. So,
exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I love the festival, but I don't think people realize how it really is a full-time job.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so you've been doing it since the beginning, right? You've been a part of the founding of it and everything, right?
Yes, I actually am the founder of the festival. I was teaching in the film department at one of the schools, and I noticed that our enrollment of women had decreased. And I looked into that, and because it never really occurred to me that there was any disparity, I looked into that, and I also watched a documentary that kind of changed my life called Misrepresentation. I don't know if you've ever seen that or heard of it.
I heard of it. I don't think I have seen it.
It's amazing. I mean, it's obviously a few years old now, but Gina Davis has a really big, prominent role in there. And and it's made by the woman. She's currently the First Lady of California, married to Governor Newsom, but she's a filmmaker, Jennifer Newsom, Siebel Newsom. And it's just chock full of really informative, you know, statistics and anecdotes about how it really is tougher for women in film. I mean, it's, you know, it's getting better. Like everything else, once attention is drawn to an issue and we're free to start talking about it and affecting change, you know, change does occur. Yeah. Slowly but surely,
but it's great that it's happening. And you know, we talk on this show normally on the regular episodes about what movies, you know, inspired other movies. It sounds like that is a movie that would be a puzzle piece right there for what inspired you with this festival.
That's actually a really good point. You're piecing it together. I would say that was my inspiration, that along with being an instructor over there and seeing that we were losing our women in the department. But from what actually happened was I started a club. I was the faculty advisor for the Women's Film Club over there. And we decided we would just have kind of like a little independent local film festival. And what we didn't know was as soon as we opened it up to this platform called Film Freeway, we started getting films from all over the world. We had something like 900 submissions our very first year. This was back in 2015. And so very quickly, we decided we are a real film festival, and we've been a real film festival ever since. I've had a great team of mostly amazing, mostly women, all amazing, amazing partners that I've worked with. Shout outs, Patty Thompson, Mimi Luong, Brett Lebner, Shirley Johnson, Danette Tull, Esther Gabriel, Kelsey Stacey, Courtney Monroe, all people I could not live without. Joe Muris. And Dr. Heather Addison is also on our board. She is the chair of the film department at UNLV.
Yeah, so many names that you hear all the time in this, you know, this small knit film community. You know, they're definitely such a major part of it. And you know, I just realized 2015, I believe, was when a music video of mine directed by April Kagan played at the festival, Shadows on the Ceiling.
That's right, David. Yeah. That's right. And that's when I first became aware of your name.
There you go.
And yeah, David Rosen, it sounds like someone I should know for sure.
It's me and the character on, what's it called? Scandal. There's a character named David Rosen on there.
Anyway,
so this is the sixth year of the Nevada Women's Film Festival. I know you've got 68 films this year, 23 countries. That's awesome.
That's incredible.
It's really wild. Aside from, you know, the obvious change with everything with it going online because of everything going on right now, what else has changed in these 6 years, would you say, as far as putting this thing together?
Wow. What a good question. Well, I've never given birth, but I hear that childbirth is so incredibly intense that women forget. Otherwise, they would never have more children. Right. And I think that's maybe the same with the festival. We're all volunteer staff. And so that hasn't changed, the amount of work. But I would say what has changed is certain things get easier. It's gotten a bit easier to get acclaimed, interesting filmmakers to pay us a visit. This year, we, as you know, we have Laure de Clamer Tremont of the Mustang, and you know, we're honoring her this year with our Vanguard Award. And we also have, besides our Nevada Woman Filmmaker of the Year, Andrea Walter, who's amazing, but another kind of high-profile filmmaker who's going to be joining us is Carol Deisinger. And she just won an Academy Award just this past March, February, whatever it was, for learning to skateboard in a war zone if you're a girl. And this, if you haven't seen it, it's a short documentary made in Afghanistan showing a place called Skatistan, where these young gals go to learn how to skateboard, but also to develop courage and strength. And it's just a really amazing, inspiring short film that won the award.
That's awesome. It seems like these filmmakers that are underrepresented when it comes to a lot of other, you know, a lot of other places for a festival like yours, and especially in a place like Nevada, where people come from all over the world, you know, so you got that angle of it. It seems like a kind of perfect storm to really showcase some interesting talent that doesn't get shown everywhere else.
You know, you're so right. And one thing that I'm really excited about this year is just because of the fact that we're going to be virtual, we have more filmmakers coming in to join us than we ever could have had in the past.
Nice.
So people will travel to Las Vegas. Everyone wants to come. And I think the furthest we've had anyone travel in from may have been Toronto previously. So nobody off the continent, no one from Europe has actually traveled here. But now we've got Australia, we've got New Zealand, all over Europe. We even have a filmmaker who's going to be joining us from Iran.
Nice.
Yeah. And so it's such an opportunity for our community.
I want to get back to the films a little bit.
Okay.
So we were just talking about the Mustang, which, you know, obviously shot here in Nevada.
Yeah.
Are you seeing all, you know, it's great when we get these, you know, submissions from all over the world and everything. And that's a wonderful thing to celebrate. But are you seeing more filmmakers coming out of Las Vegas and Nevada in general?
Absolutely. And we always give priority to our locals and our local students. And we have some great local films this year. We have another April Kagan. Actually, you know what? I think over the years, we've had three from April Kagan.
She's a hard worker. She's out there doing it.
Yeah, I love April. She last year won Best Student Filmmaker, our Femi Award for Best Student Film for Happy.
Nice.
This year, she's got Space Captain and Callista, her feature. And we have Villama, a short film by, let's see, Gabriella Vizcarra, Joseph Anaya. We have films from other films from Nevada State. We have Dance Dance Astro Girl, which is really fun. A couple of local filmmakers who I really love, Sean Fallon and Charlotte Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Their film is called Possibilities, and it's just a really funny, dark comedy. I love it. 12 minutes long. We've got some UNLV films. We've got Lost in the 80s, Brandon Moles. We've got The Lost City Museum by Benjamin Van Alstyne and Spencer Holmes. We have a filmmaker, another UNLV student, I believe, is Jemson Belosos. And she had a film last year. This year she has two. She's also nominated for Best Student Filmmaker and also Best LGBTQ themed film. That's called I Exist. I'm probably missing someone, but David, let's talk about Andrea Walter.
I was just going to say, okay. Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that film and about her getting Filmmaker of the Year.
So Andrea Walter, we're so proud of Andrea. So she is another UNLV film grad, and her film is called Empty by Design. We are getting special permission to screen it. There's a situation in the Philippines where we're not 100% sure about what the restrictions will be. So that's one thing that's actually really changed for us, is the fact that we're now streaming our films and there are different restrictions. But anyway, Empty by Design is 100% takes place in Manila in the Philippines. So this is, you know, such a thoroughly professional film, and we're just so proud of Andrea. She's very deserving of this honor this year, Nevada Woman Filmmaker of the Year.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. And so you were just talking about the restrictions on films.
Yeah.
Does each film have its own challenges with being able to screen it now because of it being an online thing?
Well, so we're using a platform called Eventive, which is great. And Eventive was all set to be our new box office platform. You know, it's similar to mm-hmm. Eventbrite and Brown Paper Tickets, but they were going to be our new box office platform. And then when, you know, BC or BP before pandemic, and then mm-hmm. When we didn't know, you know, we knew we were going to have to postpone the festival, and we put it on hold what we were even going to do. And then we noticed that Eventive is actually completely set up for these online festivals. So they're really great. And there are many, many choices about how to stream the films. They can be coming from Vimeo, from YouTube, or Eventive hosts the films themselves.
Cool.
But one thing that's really convenient is if we're just using our YouTube channel. Of course, everything is on private. And so some filmmakers are understandably a little bit concerned about thinking that their film is just out on YouTube, you know, but it's not. It's really not. There are some really good, safe restrictions that we're able to place on when the film is shown, what parts of the world, and so on. And so with some of our films that are not in competition, you know, the three special screenings that we talked about, which is Empty by Design, Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone if You're a Girl, and The Mustang. With those three films, each of them has very specific restrictions that we need to honor for the distributors.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and an interesting new thing with this new frontier of doing these online film festivals, because like I know, like you know, South by Southwest was so famously went online last month with Amazon, and you know, there was a lot of questions about that, about, you know, how these things are going to be kept, you know, piracy and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
It's good to know that there are steps being taken by that, I would think, for the filmmakers to be able to know that. I think that's really important and a great sign of this being something that can, you know, can succeed this way.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think there are certain things, you know, you can't be 100% protected with anything in life. I mean, even if we show a film, right? Even if we show a film in a theater or you go to a concert, of course, how can you stop someone from recording a song on their iPhone? So, I mean, that's just one of the chances you have to take in life. But for the most part, we're very safe with being able to stream on this Eventive platform.
Absolutely. So festival's coming up June 25th to 28th.
Well, those are the dates, yes, but pre-screening for our video on demand begins on the 22nd. And actually, our listeners should really know that that's when you really want to become proactive and start watching the films, because if you do wait until the 25th, you'll notice that on our schedule, those are just Q&A sessions. And so that is one thing that our attendees, our ticket holders, will really have to get used to, as we had a traditional Thursday through Sunday. Well, we still do, but only for our Q&As and our interviews. Only our live events will be during those dates. So sure, you can come in, you know, and join the Q&As, but if you didn't see the movies, it's not going to be
very, it's not as good. You want to see those movies, for sure.
You know, you sure support your favorite filmmaker, absolutely, but it's better if you've seen the films.
Absolutely. So that's great to know, and we'll have a link in the show notes for anybody who's interested in checking those films out and checking the festival out. And going from here, I mean, obviously we're going to see how, I know you in your press release mentioned that this is like an experiment going online, but going forward, what do you, you know, obviously we got to see how it goes, but are you thinking like hybrid of this kind of a thing with in person? Like what's the hope for the future as things start to get back to a little bit of normalcy?
And that's an interesting question. That's also a question I'm being asked, looking at my fall teaching schedule. Do you want to be in person? Do you want to do a hybrid? And I think going forward, assuming we're, you know, healthy and the CDC has given the thumbs up, I think there's nothing like meeting people in person because, of course, part of the festival experience is the parties and networking and meeting people. And we're going to do our best to allow our festival, our filmmakers and our audience, ticket holders and so on, to network as much as is possible in this type of a format. And so, in answer to your question for next March, you know, I don't know. I think it'll all depend on what we're allowed to do. My first choice would absolutely to be able to do this in person. Mm-hmm. What do you think, David, when you go to the theater, how is that a different experience for you than watching at home on Netflix?
I am a champion of the theatrical experience. people who know me know that I rally against the idea of the Netflix and all that stuff. Like, I love it. It's great that it's there. And of course, you know, temporarily it's the only option for now. And yeah, I'm certainly in no rush to go back to the theaters with the way things are right now.
Yeah.
But once they're back, I can't wait, you know, because I do love that whole just being in that big dark room and just being absorbed in a film and all that. I love that, you know, and then especially as far as film festivals are concerned, being able to then, you know, like you said, the networking and all that stuff. But I am excited though about the idea of certain kinds of film festivals being able to go online and be able to do events, especially like you said, like with the experimental nature of being able to still put together like networking portions and stuff like that online. I think that there's so much potential in that. And I think that there's, you know, definitely, I've not even joking around, like you were saying with school, even, you know, I think in a lot of different areas, there's going to be, this is getting on a total tangent, but I think there's going to be a lot of great potential for hybridizing these kind of things and finding ways to really mesh the online experience with the in-person experience.
And it's exciting. I feel like we're in a, you know, strange new world, and I think there are going to be a lot of benefits. I think it's going to be better for the planet, for one thing. Less travel, less time in the car. I don't miss driving one bit.
I don't miss waiting for a doctor appointment. That's what I'll tell you.
And, but, you know, another thing that we're aware of in regards to our festival is with the streaming, perhaps you'll watch a block of films or you'll watch one of the features several days before the Q&A. And I think there might be something lost with not being able to sit in the room right after you had this immersive experience, as you say, and to be able to meet the filmmaker and ask them, you know, questions when it's still fresh in your mind. And so that might be something we'll look forward to changing up in the future so that, or even, you know, this year we're going to try to have our social media gal, Courtney, will try to have some watch parties so that we can try to emulate that experience as much as possible without overlapping other Q&A sessions.
Oh, that's cool. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah. Right, and we're most importantly, we're going to try to keep our sense of humor because, you know, things are going to mess up, and boy, let me tell you, it is so stressful when it when something like that happens. But, you know, I'm going into this just knowing,
you know, what's funny though, is when have you ever been to a film festival and there wasn't some kind of mess up in person either? So it's like, it happens anyway. There's always a possibility for something like that.
Right. So, you know, as much planning as we're doing and working, you know, our butts off right now, we're just going to have to just not, you know, be chill about it, not stress out too much if things mess up. Yeah. And hopefully it'll be a minimum.
That's right. Well, where can people go to find more info about the festival?
So our website, you can either just Google Nevada Women's Film Festival. Our acronym is NWF Fest. So those are two F's, F like Frank, and then EST. .com, or like I said, just Google it, and we're on every social media except for TikTok. We're working on that. You know, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Awesome. Well, Nikki, this was great. And you know, I always ask my guests before I let them go, is there a movie you watched recently you'd like to maybe recommend to our listeners?
Well, it's a little embarrassing, but the most recent movie I watched was the Academy Award winner for Best Film. And I know that everybody watched that back before March, but I couldn't because I was programming the film festival. So I just recently saw Parasite. And of course, I loved it. It was amazing. I couldn't stop thinking about it. What a twist.
Oh, yeah.
No spoilers in case there's anyone out there who hasn't seen Parasite yet.
Yeah.
And also, what other Uncut Gems I loved, and even The Irish. I know a lot of people didn't like The Irishman because of how long it is. I found it riveting. Absolutely.
I loved it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yes. It's a movie that stays with you, you know?
Oh, loved it so much. I think it was maybe Christmas Day. I watched it in its entirety without any breaks.
Nice. That's the way to
but
do it.
But I'm a nerd. I'm a nerd. You know.
Awesome. Well, Nikki, thank you so much and good luck with the festival. And I'm looking forward to it myself.
David, thank you so much. This has been fun. Thank you for inviting me. And thank you so much for being a sponsor. We appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very happy to be able to support local film events. I think it's awesome what you guys are doing.
Thanks so much.
Hello, welcome to the All Points West Podcast Network. This is Q. June is going to be huge for us. We're starting the month off with the launch of House on Fire, a podcast hosted by youth climate activists JP Mejia and Gabby Rodriguez, and presented in partnership with the Clio Institute and Unicorn Fire Radio. We're talking climate change from the front lines of the crisis, Miami, with the generation who has the most at stake. In their first episode, JP and Gabby talked to the co-founder of Zero Hour, Jamie Margolin, about how Generation Z is taking up the mantle for action on global warming and what it means for the near future. The first four episodes are up on June 5th with more to come every other week, so be sure to subscribe, rate, and review now. Meanwhile, over on Awesome Movie Year, Jason Harris and Josh Bell are reviewing the year in film 1996, including Swingers, Welcome to the Dollhouse, Bottle Rocket, Independence Day, and more. They've got some awesome bonus content they'll be releasing later this month, but you need to subscribe to find out what it is. And over on Entre Dos, Monica and Paula are getting deep into the world of language rights and how parents can push for better bilingual programs in their communities. So check it out by subscribing today.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Nikki Korda. Make sure to check out that Nevada Women's Film Festival. Again, it's coming up. The streaming begins June 22nd, and then the rest of the festival's happening between June 25th and 28th. You can find out more information over on nwffest.com. And, of course, just search for Nevada Women's Film Fest. But it's a great festival. Support it. Support Las Vegas and Nevada film-related events. Also, speaking of Nevada film, we mentioned The Mustang, which is going to be presented with the Vanguard Award during the festival. We covered The Mustang back on episode 79, featuring Rosa Parra, who, by the way, is starting a new film podcast called Latinx Lens. So check that out as well. I think that's starting any day now. So check out episode 79 on The Mustang, which is a great movie. And check out the Nevada Women's Film Festival. And that does it for today. As always, I want to remind you to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever it is you listen to podcasts. And you can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. We also have a Patreon going where we post advance episodes before they hit the main feed, as well as bonus content. And I'm actually going to be releasing a special exclusive compilation of some music, some extra bonus tracks that I cut from my newest album, Beater Original Motion Picture Soundtrack. There's it's already 34 tracks as it is, because it's a compilation of a whole bunch of film score music I've made over the last like 6 years. But there was even more, and so I am currently compiling some of the stuff that was cut for the sake of not making it 40 tracks or something. And so I'm going to put together all the rest of those bonus tracks and put it into a special album that's only going to be available on the Patreon. So lots of cool stuff on Patreon, patreon.com/piecingpod, and it combines... Obviously, I'm sitting here talking about my music. It combines my podcast stuff and my music stuff. So a lot of great content on there. So we'd love your support. And speaking of music, I'm going to close this episode out with a piece of music, as I always do. And like I mentioned in the episode a few years back, a music video of mine directed by April Kagan called Shadows on the Ceiling actually played at the Nevada Women's Film Festival. So I am going to close this thing out with that song, Shadows on the Ceiling. It's from my second album, An Unseen Sky, and it's available everywhere music is available, and you can check out that music video over on my YouTube channel, Music by David Rosen. And the song, again, is called Shadows on the Ceiling, and thank you, as always, for listening.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.